Hello. We're back. We're back, finally. Through Imperial Eyes. This is what the show's called. We're on a show. We're on a Star Wars show. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
We keep having to take these weeks off, but we're done doing that now. I am your host, Braden Ledbetter.
I'm your co-host, Jackson Daleen.
And man, if you're listening and you're curious as to why you, for the past like month, you've only gotten like an episode out of us.
Yeah.
It's because I finally closed and moved into a house. So we're settling in. That's why I've my voice is kind of echoey on this recording. It's because I'm sitting in an empty room right now with a Grogu over my shoulder and a Rise of Skywalker poster. And that's about all that's in this room besides my computer. But yeah, all the stress of the housing market is off my shoulders finally.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very exciting.
Also got a new dog.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
I saw that post. What's their name?
Her name is Carly. She's a pit bull mix. She's a gray pit bull mix. She's very, very sweet. She is extremely sweet and cuddly. And she gets along great with Murphy, my other dog.
That's cool.
But yeah, just over here settling in, and finally things start to settle down so we can actually sit and record some episodes.
Yeah.
But what's been going on with you the past couple of weeks?
Past couple of weeks, mainly just work. So I filled that time with, I listened to the audiobook of Out of the Shadows, which was pretty good. It's about like 5 hours. It's very
That's
like hyperspace.
Short, actually.
Yeah, it's one of the like YA books with, you know.
Yeah.
Into the Dark. So yeah, it was quick. I got it done. And I think I did it in 2 days, but I was like, I could have done this in one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good though. I'm excited to see if they kind of what they take from it as kind of the overall plot, because there's some cool stuff that happened in it. I also though I figured out how to mod my Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Oh.
My 2017 version. I finally did it. It was actually a very, very complicated process because I don't own it. I don't have it. I have it for free through my Xbox Game Pass, which like does it through EA's like subscription thing. And it was a very, very long process to figure that out. But it's fun now that I have it. I have a bunch of skin changes. I have like the Mandalorian in it. And
cool.
Trying to think, yeah, just you know, fun little. I have my Darth Maul changed into Sith Rey. She's got the hood and a bunch of different voice lines. A really nice mod, actually. Her lightsaber is like, it's the concept, but when it ignites, it's Kylo's saber sounds and it crackles and it, you know, spits out. It's really cool.
It's cool.
And I think the last thing too, I haven't showed you that as well. I moved my Black Series. I moved, changed them all.
Oh, you did.
So you can see them somewhat better. I don't know. Yeah. They're kind of far away. But I have them all posed, and then I have the stuff on my shelf kind of changed up. I have my Darth Vader figure moved. And I repositioned everyone to kind of like specific poses rather than like these action poses.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's been pretty cool. What about you? I'm curious to know what Star Wars stuff you've
So other than this past week, we were super 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 busy with just all this house stuff and moving in and all this stuff. That's why we were originally planning on having a couple episodes out last week, but I underestimated how busy I would be. But now that we're all settled in, I did get a chance to sit down and watch Visions finally. You can see our review very very soon. And also, I decided to just say screw it and start watching. Like, just try out Star Wars Resistance. Have not seen it.
Yeah, I've been. I've been thinking about that too.
I don't know how to feel about it yet. I'm only a couple episodes in.
I think I've only seen the first like 4 episodes.
Yeah, it is. You can tell that it's much more targeted towards children than Clone Wars and Rebels.
That's kind of what I've heard as it like. It overall,
yeah,
but I've also heard that they do a lot with like the world building of that era, and like apparently it gets like better, but it's still like kind of mainly centered around kids.
Yeah. And then this morning I just decided to just on a whim to throw in Phantom Menace and watch it.
Classic.
Just because
I do that. Yeah.
And that movie is such a delight. Like the more and more I watch it, the more I'm like, you know what? I like this movie a lot.
It's like a Shakespeare show. It's just like this space opera that happens.
Yeah. And it has such a unique tone and feel. Like just Star Wars wise,
yeah,
I always have a lot of fun watching it, and it's so fun to quote too. That little droid did it.
I agree. I sometimes get in kicks where I'm like, I think I'm gonna watch The Phantom Menace, or I'm do I want to watch Attack of the Clones?
Yeah. It was between Phantom Menace and Empire. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go Phantom Menace. Why not?
Yeah.
Because I just wanted something to throw on in the background while I was working. But yeah,
that's a great background movie.
It is a good background movie because you've seen it a few
times.
Tune
out and come back.
You don't have to like be tunnel vision focused into the movie. Because some Star Wars movies, I want to actually pay attention to, like things like The Last Jedi, like basically all the sequel movies, I want to pay attention to. And a lot of the OT stuff, but I think I've seen OT stuff so many times. I'm just like, But that's essentially what I've been doing besides moving and closing and all the stressful things about
adult
owning a house.
Things.
Yeah, the boring
that's
adult
gross.
Things. But we have a lot of news to catch up on. That's the good thing about being away for 2 weeks.
Do indeed.
So let's get into it. What's first?
We'll jump right into it. So, starting off the bat, we've got some news for the Kenobi show. We've got a couple bits and pieces in here about Kenobi, but this one, sorry, wait for that car to pass by. I live in the boonies.
You live in a garage.
I hate Cape Girardeau with a burning passion. I'm
What's your address? Just so everybody knows, so they can send you stuff.
Don't 416 Whitener Street. That's not far off. That's not far off.
Oh, is it like 417?
That's like around the corner from me, probably.
Wow.
Starting off, we have news from the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. Sung Kang confirms that his character wields a lightsaber. It's pretty cool news. In a recent interview with Ash Crossan, Kang reveals that his character will have a lightsaber in the show. Talking about his experience on set, he says, quote, "To be part of Star Wars history is pretty amazing. I keep pinching myself to go, how did I end up here? And my character has a lightsaber, and it's not like a toy. Like, it's a real thing," end quote. In addition to the reveal that he's wielding a lightsaber, he also mentioned seeing Vader on set. it's nothing new to the fact that, back in July, he had said that he had been working with some other Jedi characters, plural on that. It kind of gives us a headspace of who he's playing. Sounds like another Inquisitor.
I'm going Inquisitor all day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think a lot of these,
I think there's going to be a little
casts.
I think there's going to be a little group of main Inquisitors that Vader's going to boss around in this show.
Do you, this kind of talk about multiple Jedi characters, I think we're going to get here's the Inquisitors, like this is what they are, and it's almost like a little introduction scene for them, and I think it'll start it with 66 is that maybe there's some of these characters that like
we'll get like a flashback to 66 and then jump forward.
I don't think like an episode, but I think like a scene that talks about like, you know, maybe it centers it on one or two specific actors who are playing Inquisitors, and it kind of talks about how, you know, it's them during 66, but then it'll eventually change it to where, you know, how the Empire finds them and recruits them, and then it'll jump right in. And I bet you everything else will be dialogue heavy because we know
that
what
would
Inquisitors
be a nice
are.
Little prologue for the series.
I agree. That would be cool, actually. Because I think they would at least need to do something like that for the general public who wouldn't necessarily know what an Inquisitor is. But there's tons of other media of that. So I don't think they need to shove it down our throats of what they are. It's a quick little scene and it'll pass it off. But
with all this Inquisitor talk, like we don't have Inquisitors confirmed in this show. So
I know, it's all just like huge specky. Dead wrong.
Could be totally wrong, and he's just like this brand new, maybe he's another Jedi or something, who knows?
Just some guy who has a lightsaber.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I found this in a city one day.
But in the event that there are Inquisitors, do you think that, like, how big of a role do you see the Inquisitors playing in this show? Do you think they're going to be more of like the characters that pop in every now and then, or do you think they're going to be like part of the main antagonist force?
I think they'll be part of the main antagonist force. I think Vader's going to be the one that like pops in, pops out.
Okay.
I think there's going to be like one to two Inquisitors that are like the villains of the show.
Mm, you know, kind of like Rebels-esque.
Yeah. It's just, one here or there that I think will be. Now the question is, I don't know if it's going to be someone we've seen before, a new Inquisitor that we haven't seen. There's like a set number of them, aren't there?
Or I think
is it just
so.
That like we just
but,
know?
But again, they could just add something.
They,
as we know from things like Bad Batch and Mandalorian, they don't really follow the rules of Star Wars that closely with what a lot of the niche canon has set up.
Right. Well, and I think they're trying to expand the last little bits of this era as much as they can before I think.
Well, they're exploring two shows with this era right now. Andor and Kenobi. So we got a lot of ground to cover. Yeah.
And I think Andor will do more of that final world building, because I think their main goal is going to be starting post Return of the Jedi. They're going to start filling in that gap. So I think that's cool little news to start us with. What do we have next?
Next up, we have the Art of Star Wars: The Mandalorian Season 2 has been announced for this December. So Phil Sostak, he's the guy who does all the art of books. I have all the art of books for the sequel trilogy. They're wonderful. If you never checked them out, they're some of the coolest. It's got all the concept art. It's got like little snippets from a lot of the concept artists and like art directors. And it goes through their idea and thought process of creating a lot of the sets and characters and like early versions of things. It's super cool to read if you ever come across one. But he did do this book as well as obviously The Mandalorian Season 1 and the rest of the sequel ones. And it will include concept art, character, vehicle, weapon, and creature designs, as well as interviews with key crew and creatives, which include, obviously, Jon Favreau and Filoni. Oscar winner and Emmy nominee for this season of The Mandalorian, Doug Chang, one of the most veteran artists working over at Lucasfilm. Obviously, he did a lot of work on the prequels, and he's one of the main artistic forces for Star Wars at this point. And he's also apparently did some exclusive artwork for this book. So, we got Art of Mandalorian Season 2 coming out December 14th, but it is actually currently available for pre-order online now. Jackson, what do you think about them keeping pumping out these Art of books?
I personally have never actually read one, but I always want these. I plan to get like a big bookshelf.
They're worth
fill it with Star
Wars. They're actually pretty okay price on Amazon, like $20 each. Yeah.
I see them all the time at Barnes and Noble, and I've looked through the first Mandalorian one, just skimmed through it, but like that's cool. But this is one that I think I would definitely jump in, just because I liked the art style of Season 2 much better than Season 1, if that makes sense.
Especially like the whole ice spider sequence and
And just visual aesthetically, Season 2 I think was cooler to me, and I would like that art. The credit drawings are always so cool in that show. I think that'll be really neat. I do want to say this has nothing to do with this book, but the Emmys sucked, and I am very disappointed about everything that happened.
I didn't even bother to watch them.
I'm just going to say The Mandalorian was horribly snubbed.
I can tell.
Probably. I don't even think it won anything.
I don't think so either.
That's such bull crap. Anyway, yeah, no, this, I think this book would be really neat. I'll probably, honestly, I probably will jump on it whenever it does come out.
And I'm really glad they're keeping on top of these releases, because it's really good for collectors like me that are, you know, every time there's a new Star Wars property, you want the Art of book.
I like the consistency of keeping Phil Sozak. But yeah, I like that, you know, he kind of has this format that everybody likes that I think is kind of a neat thing to include him with it all. So.
I highly recommend the first one you get. If you do end up picking up some of the Art of books, I highly, highly recommend the Force Awakens one. If you get no other ones, get the Force Awakens one.
I found that at a resale bookstore the other day, so I may pop back in and get it if it's still
I there. Highly, highly recommend it. It's the most fascinating read, because it's like it has a lot of the concept art they made back in like 2012.
Oh, like, so it's all the
back
old,
then.
Like,
so it's like back when George was,
and whatever. Yeah.
It's back when George was gonna write and do episode 7, and like has like a concept for like Kira and Jason, a lot of early versions for old Luke. Super fascinating, really cool stuff. I highly recommend it.
Yeah for sure.
But cool, what's next,
dude? I gotta tell you, before I really get into this, I have been itching for High Republic stuff. I am just like, I need it all. And like, I've been so bad with the comics. That's the one where I'm like, I really got to kick it up, but I still need to read Race to Crash Point Tower and Test of Courage, and then I'm caught up on all the books.
Yeah, I have to read Test of Courage, Race to Crash Point Tower, and Out of the Shadows to be caught up.
I will say Out of the Shadows was much more interesting than I thought it was going to be. It kind of just sets up for a very – not a lot really happens, but the conversations that take place I think are really cool. That being said, we have new details on Wave 3 coming out of the High Republic. Ooh, it's going to be good. It's going to be real good. So back in July, it was announced that they will be getting, you know, 4 more books at the beginning of the next year, so 2022, starting with the third adult novel, which will be written by Claudia Gray, which was titled The Fallen Star. That's going to be released January 4th, 2022. It's the day after my birthday. So if any fans want
to... Our three fans that listen to our podcast
already own it, so it doesn't even matter. Thanks for the book. Yeah. Anyway, she's gonna follow immediately after The Rising Storm, and you know, pick up that main adult novel story that kind of is
the main story, almost, essentially.
The main story, yeah. So we've got some cover reveals, which I know you guys can't see it, but they're all right. We'll talk about kind of the different one. But
I'm just going to say right now, not loving the Fallen Star cover.
I'm excited to see what variant covers come out from it.
I really hope there's like a Target exclusive different cover, because I do not like this cover.
And I bet you they'll do
cover.
Something good. Yeah, no, yeah. This one's okay. Yeah, I agree.
It's basically, they recycled the it looks like they kind of took the template for the Target exclusive version of The Rising Storm, but they just like photoshopped a weird fire thing.
Yeah,
in the background.
I
kind of
see what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not great.
I think when it comes to original covers, this is my second favorite, with Light of the Jedi being the first. I don't like the original Rising Storm cover.
It's really kind of yeah.
It's just, yeah, all of the variant covers have all better. But anyway, here is the official synopsis for The Fallen Star. Time and time again, the vicious raiders known as the Nihil have sought to bring the golden age of the High Republic to a fiery end. Time and again, the High Republic has emerged battered and weary, but victorious, thanks to its Jedi protectors, and there is no monument to their cause grander than the Starlight Beacon. So... It's
keep
not
going.
Be fun.
There's two
hanging
more
out
paragraphs.
Like a jewel in the outer rim, the beacon embodies the High Republic as at the apex of its aspirations, a hub of culture and knowledge, a brighter torch against the darkness of the unknown, and an extended hand of welcome to the further reaches of the galaxies. As survivors and refugees flee from the Nile's attacks, the beacon and its crews stand ready to shelter the heel. The grateful knights and padawans of the Jedi Order stationed there finally have a chance to recover from the point of their injuries and the grief of their losses. But the storm they thought had already passed still rages. They are simply... Sorry, my vision's going out. They are simply caught
are
in
you
its eye.
Are you having a stroke, Jackson?
Sometimes, like, my glasses are really old. They're simply caught in the eye. Martian Rowe, the true mastermind of the Nihil, is preparing his most daring attack yet. One designed to snuff out the light of the Jedi.
Love that.
This one's going to be really cool. Knowing Claudia.
This is going to be the... it's not going to end well again, I don't think.
No, no, no. And, you know, I was listening to different High Republic stuff and different podcasts, and a lot of people, maybe it wasn't people are expecting, it was that someone said that the next kind of phase of this is supposed to be even darker. Mm. It's supposed to be even rougher. So I can only imagine this is just going to be that joint piece that's just going to like blow us away.
Yeah.
Off the top of your head, how many Jedis are going to die in this one? How many main characters are going to die in this one?
Well, spoilers. If anyone doesn't really want to know spoilers, because for the Rising Storm, we had Loden Greatstorm. I don't know, because I don't see them killing Elzar yet.
No,
I don't see them killing Stellan yet. You think so?
I think Stellan's not going to make it much farther.
You think so?
Because I think if it's not Stellan, it's Eivor. But I don't think they've done enough with Eivor yet to
I think because Eivor's like big story was Light of the Jedi. I think they're returning to her in this book.
More comic-centered. Yeah. Which I really need to catch up, because a thing in Out of the Shadows is mentioned and it's kind of glazed over in the book, but I need to understand what happens. But it involves the Drengir, and I think Eivor has to be a big part of that. I think phase two, before we continue on to this, I think phase two is not going to be a lot with the Nihil. I think it's going to then transition into the Return of the Sith.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Somehow, some way, the Sith take control of the Nile.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of Martian Rowe's like goal, is to essentially like recreate his version of the Sith. Yeah, but I think I think in doing so, he's like causing the Sith to spark up themselves through tormenting the Jedi.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I think is going to happen to Elzar. I think Elzar is going to be consumed by the dark side, and he's going to turn into this new concept. Think of like a Vader, where it's almost like it's reluctant, but it's like it still happens, you know, like he's just so consumed by his thoughts and emotions and the things that happen to him that it pushes him towards the dark side. He's unable to fight it anymore.
Hmm.
And I think something like that would spark from the death of either Eivor or Stellan. But since we've gotten more Stellan, I think that is who will probably bite the bullet.
I don't know.
So moving on with that, like I said, Fallen Star is going to be written by Claudia Gray. Daniel Jose Older is writing the next young adult novel, which is titled Midnight Horizon. This cover is cool. Yeah. Did he write both Race to Crosspoint Tower and Test of Courage, or did Ireland write?
Justina Ireland did Tess of Courage, and he is obviously doing this, and he also did Race to Crashpoint Tower. I think in that first wave of High Republic content, I think he would just do one of the first comic releases.
Yeah, I think he's done more. I was going to say he's done more of the comic stuff.
Kind
of
like how in phase two, I think it was wave two, Charles Soule kind of took the backseat and went to comics.
Yeah. It's been the two of them that have, I think, done a lot of the comic work. But so Midnight Horizon will be released February 1st, 2022. It's
5 days before my birthday.
That's cool. That's fun. I like these close birthday releases for us.
Yeah, it's like a happy birthday to Brandon Jackson.
And then Justina Ireland will be working on the next middle grade novel, which will be titled Mission to Disaster. And that will also come out January 4th, 2022. So we got a couple more coming out.
Yeah, really interesting. I got to catch up before the end of the year, which I think
sounds like we'll be starting phase two mid 2022. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're gonna. I think it's gonna be a whole like each phase is gonna be like a year's worth of publishing.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many phases are we. I think this would make the most sense if it was three separate phases.
I've heard 3 to 4.
Yeah, I think 3 would make the most sense because you could tell the whole storyline in like a big 3-act arc.
Yeah.
Kind of like a trilogy, but like in a big literature way.
No, in Star Wars, they love their trilogies. We've already seen that with just even the phases are each working their own trilogies.
Yeah.
So that's our High Republic news. What do we have next?
Next, we have some news with Ewan McGregor talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi at the Emmys. So after winning Outstanding Lead Actor in a Limited or Anthology Series or Movie at the 2021 Emmy Awards, he provided something for Star Wars fans to look forward to in 2022. He says, "I think it will not disappoint," he said in a post-win interview. He also confirmed that Kenobi has wrapped. Obviously, pretty obvious. He doesn't have the beard anymore, and he's kind of out and about now. He was talking about how
they let him free.
Yeah, they let him free. He's also talking about how he's really loved working on Deborah Chow. Working on Deborah Chow. Yeah. Working with Deborah Chow on Kenobi and working on set with all the different people, and says he had a really good time. And he said he had a little bit of a different experience than the first three films he worked on, and that he really, really liked it. And I think he's talking about the whole working on the volume as opposed to
the
blue screen.
They have
set.
A bigger production value this time.
Yeah. obviously there's nothing really much he can say at this point. I mean, they just wrapped. We're probably not going to see any kind of footage probably till spring. But what do you think of his comments here, and do you think we'll see anything earlier, any kind of footage earlier than the spring?
I think anything that he's talking about, we won't see until the show's actually out. I think, the trailer will be very misleading. It will be very minimal. We're not going to get a lot. It's probably just going to be some basic, you know, establishing shots of Kenobi, and then that's the trailer.
It'll be
maybe
a lot of vistas. It'll be a lot of Tatooine vistas, and it'll be like a couple shots of Kenobi.
Some
with a couple...
Darth Vader breathing, and maybe like the. Some
I
of
think
his
they'll
helmet.
Show Vader in the trailer. I think they will.
Yeah, I agree. But like,
and I think we're going to introduce a few other characters, like other than new character, like the cast that we don't really
know
Darth yet.
Vader looks very much like Darth Vader in this. I couldn't have guessed what he was going to look like.
Yeah. I think they're really trying to keep Kenobi's look a little bit under wraps, but we'll see. I think we're definitely going to see in the trailer.
Honestly, I'm content if we didn't get a trailer. I know we will. Obviously, we will. But
they
like,
got to market it. They got to market it.
I wouldn't hate it if we didn't. There's enough people that would watch it, you know. But
well, we're never. Here's the thing, though, is this was also a thing for Spider-Man No Way Home. We will never, ever have a release of any kind of content, especially coming from Disney, that doesn't have any kind of trailer. They're just at
some kind of mass marketing.
That is
it.
The dumbest marketing move you could ever make. Like. Yeah. Because that is how they promote their stuff and make their money. They gotta market it, and they gotta have trailers. They gotta have posters. They gotta have all that kind of stuff.
Gotta have it all.
Gotta have billboards. Gotta have advertisements on buses. So
I will say, I bet you once the trailer does drop, I hope the posters for it will be cool.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope I always, they do a thing like The Mandalorian was doing, where each week, different character gets a poster.
Yeah, the different posters. Yeah, that would be cool.
I appreciate
creative posters so much more than just people collages.
Like the Venom poster.
Everything. I follow an account that's awful fan made posters on Twitter, and a lot of them are really bad Star Wars posters. It's really funny.
Well, what's next here?
So moving on, we have a new special on Boba Fett's history and legacy arriving on Disney Plus this November. Yeah, November, when Book of Boba Fett's coming out in December. So as part of a press release describing what's going to be dubbed as Disney Plus Day, Disney has unveiled that a new documentary special about Boba Fett will be arriving as part of the, is that Deluge?
Yeah.
Deluge of content hitting the up-and-coming streaming service. So for starters, Disney Plus Day will be November 12th. That is when it's all going to be happening. Yep. There's a bunch of other things that are coming out with it. Including Shang-Chi,
yeah.
As it stands, it's unclear if this special will feature anything from the Book of Boba Fett, like a behind-the-scenes look, or perhaps even conclude with the reveal of the trailer. But it will feature the debut of this special, and it will happen on November 12th. And then Book of Boba Fett will come out probably like a month later.
Yeah.
So
I think we're gonna get a release date for Book of Boba Fett like any day now.
I think I think this thing will have the trailer in it for sure.
You think
for
so?
For sure. But yeah, I almost was like, before I knew it was a documentary, I thought it was just gonna be like a special. And I was like, is it just gonna be the first episode? Like, is it just gonna be?
Yeah, no, it's a doc.
Yeah, but that'll be cool. I think it'll kind of be about like the history of,
and it'll talk about his whole legacy with being this, you know, this big popular character with so much merchandise.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Being
a
very prominent character and
his popularity rather than. Yeah, the stuff that he was in, but more of how people viewed him over time.
Yeah, Boba Fett, and I hope it talks about like a weird. Lot of the different merchandise, more like the really rare Boba Fett with like the rocket and
Krennic toys. And
yeah, like
Krennic,
I hope
Krennic,
they
Krennic,
Kenner,
Kenner. That's it.
Krennic,
Krennic.
But yeah, I think I mean again, Boba Fett's not like my favorite character of all time. He's not even up there, but. I'm very excited for, I love these kind of documentaries that kind of go into just character legacy and just franchise legacy and that kind of thing. That's why I'm really excited for that Lucasfilm doc that,
that
Larry Kasdan's doing.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I was someone who I liked Boba Fett, and as time progressed, I ended up really liking Boba Fett. And I was like, why do I like Boba Fett? He's not in a lot. I hadn't read any of the books. I still haven't read any of the books, you know, that kind of claim has this really cool figure. But like, I don't know. There was like, it was always like the stuff in Return of the Jedi that I really liked, that really intrigued me about him. And then his return, you know, blew me away. Yeah, blew my mind when watching that first, you know, the tragedy from The Mandalorian. It's still something I always see those random posts where it's just like, you know, Boba Fett's back, and it's just like, yeah, Boba Fett is back. And I'm glad that they're actually like, I don't know, I'm glad that they're going full throttle with him rather than,
and they're trying to actually finally make him meet up to his legacy.
yeah
except actually, for like 10 minutes like, in Empire,
give the character something. Yeah, I agree. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm glad that we're kind of, it feels like a really nice homage, but it's also like this really cool continuation, you know, and expanding this character even more than what we have seen and known of him. So I dig that. I like that. It's fun. But yeah, so look out for the Boba Fett documentary coming out November 12th.
November 12th. Mark on your calendars, folks.
Next
up, we got the Mandalorian composer, Ludwig Göransson, reportedly returning to score the Book of Boba Fett. Speaking of the Book of Boba Fett, news comes from the Film Music Reporter, and the site states that scoring sessions apparently rumored to be started a few weeks ago. So they're already in the trenches on posts for Book of Boba Fett here. I mean, they're kind of getting close to their deadline here for the end of the year. They only got a couple months. Obviously, premiere date for the series is still unknown, so, and it's likely we'll learn new details for that November 12th Disney Plus day. I think we're definitely getting a trailer for Disney Plus day.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, when it comes to the score and that kind of thing for Book of Boba Fett, do you think it's going to be very Mandalorian-esque?
This is the exact question I was going to ask you, do you think it's going to be a new sound? I don't know. I trust Ludwig to take it either way and to do it well either way, because I could see a brand new sound and style, but I also, like, we kind of got that with his return in Mando season 2.
Yep.
I think his theme, his new theme is kind of cool. That bum 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 bum. So I could just see kind of an extension onto that, but I would almost prefer a new sound, a new style, you know, something that it isn't what we've heard from The Mandalorian, because that's all the music from The Mandalorian, you know?
Yeah,
Boba Fett's got a theme in it, but that's because that's his theme in The Mandalorian. I want like a new Boba Fett theme. I want something different and
I want some rec punk. Give me some
Boba Fett just beating up people in a club just to like some Star Wars. it's just gonna be perfect.
If we do see that, that is gonna be one of my favorite scenes in all of Star Wars. That sounds so sick.
I'm so excited. And you just know it's gonna be stuff like that, especially with like what Robert Rodriguez was saying of like it's otherworldly, man. It's just gonna, it's nothing like you've ever seen.
Well, he is kind of building this up like this is gonna be He's like, we went nuts
with it, man. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be very, very action heavy, and it's gonna be a lot of big set pieces and a lot of really cool stuff. And I think we're gonna see Boba, he's gonna be brutal. I think we're gonna see a little bit of gore going on too. I think that'd be really cool. Book of Boba Fett being scored right now. Very, very exciting. Couple months. We only got to wait a couple months. But what is next?
Like a movie.
Give him a movie.
Up next, we have some news on the new Star Wars: The Knights of the Old Republic remake. So the remake is coming.
This is the re-release.
Yeah.
They're releasing the old game again.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was reading that incorrectly. But Nintendo announced that they are, during their Nintendo Direct showcase this week, that the original Knights of the Old Republic is coming to the Switch on November 11th, 2021. So the day before Disney Plus Day. So get your Star Wars The Old Republic and throw
in
your
Boba Fett Switch, so I plan on picking that up as soon as it comes out.
That's cool. Yeah, absolutely. Asper, the veteran developer who has handled previous ports of the game to other devices, is also crafting the highly anticipated remake, and the company is porting the game to the Nintendo's platform. With the game arriving on Nintendo Switch, that means the original game is pretty much available on every device for PlayStation consoles. Except for PlayStation consoles, which... I think that's funny. I can get it on my phone.
Yeah. On PlayStation.
I wonder if they'll do like you remember when Dishonored 2 came out and it had a digital version of the remaster of the first game? I bet you it'll be something like that. Get the new Knights of the Old Republic and it has a digital port of the original Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because, like, I bet you that game's probably, like, 4 gigabytes, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm just worried about how they're going to transfer the game mechanics over to Switch. I wonder how that's going to work.
Like, with the original?
Yeah, with controls and stuff.
Oh, I don't expect that to be difficult whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's kind of,
I'm just really bad at playing games on the Switch, so.
I bet you like as a handheld device, like when you've got, I don't have a Switch, but I know like you can, you know, have it as, I bet you that's gonna be really fun, like having it as portable and throw a Knights of the Old Republic, you know, get work through your character a little bit.
Yeah, I have the Switch that you can also hook up to the TV.
Yeah,
so that'll be fun.
You'll have to get it and tell me how it kind of plays.
I'm definitely planning on picking it up because I have not played the actual game.
Neither have I.
I know like about it, and
it's like $15 on the App Store. I probably will buy it for my iPad.
Yeah,
I bought an iOS controller too. I didn't mean to. I thought it was going to be for PC, but I could totally play that.
Oh, there you go.
Controller. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
But speaking of Knights of the Republic, I really want that stupid remake to come out on PS4 because I don't want to buy a PS5.
I know, right? I will probably get it with PC.
I don't have one of those.
That's the strongest thing I have right now.
I only have a Mac.
Yeah, dude, I built my PC and I haven't touched my PlayStation 4. It's just sitting here. Yeah. It's just here. It's plugged in. Like, it's ready to go. I haven't touched it. So, like, yeah, that's cool though.
I'm better at gaming on PC than I am on consoles.
You know, I didn't think I would be, and I think I am safe to say that I am as well. But yeah, we're getting off topic. What do we have?
We have Diego Luna confirms that Andor is done filming as well, and teases that we'll see some familiar faces in the series. So we're getting to that point in the year where everyone's wrapping up the series that we've been talking about all year.
We called it too. We totally said this was going to happen about this time.
Yeah. So here we go. In a recent interview with Deadline, Luna confirmed that the show has now wrapped filming and also gave a lot of insight into what we can expect from it. So this is what he is quoted in this interview. He says, "You'll definitely see familiar faces. I can tell you about this project like no other because I can't spoil the ending if you've seen Rogue One already. No matter what I say, I cannot ruin the ending. And to be honest, it's been such a blessing to do this job and to do it under these circumstances. I had the chance to work with a team that I couldn't be more proud of and admire more. It's a hardcore moment to be out there shooting, and we were really lucky. We're done with the shooting now and getting ready for audience to see it." So are we getting this early 2022? Like, what's going on with Andor? Okay, anyway, continuing, "While I can't say much, what I can tell you is that the experience was literally a transformation for me. It's something that I really wanted to do and that I thought I was not going to be able to do, and I'm more than happy." So again, the debut of Andor will be sometime in 2022, as we know, which is already going to be the biggest year in Star Wars history. As far as content is concerned, obviously we got Kenobi, we got Andor, we got Ahsoka, we got what was supposed to be Rangers of the New Republic that got kind of canceled. But what do you think about all this? When do you think we can see Andor?
I bet you we'll get an Andor trailer around the time Book of Boba Fett drops. Mm. And I bet you Andor will start earliest February, but I'm going to say March or April.
I'm going to go May.
You're going to go May? See, yeah. I think, because how many episodes is it supposed to be? Do we know?
I don't know.
Okay. So I'm
assuming anywhere in between 10 to 15.
Start early, because by the time it's done, Kenobi starts.
Maybe.
And yeah. I think Kenobi is going to be summertime.
You think it's going to be the summer hit?
I think Kenobi is going to be earliest May, but June, July, kind of looking at.
Well, he mentioned some that we're going to be seeing some familiar faces, which begs the question, I think we're going to see what?
We're getting Bail Organa.
I think we're definitely going to see Jimmy Smith. I think we're going to see K2SO. I think they wanted to keep it under wraps, but I really think we're going to see K2SO. I think we're going to see, Mon Mothma. I don't want him to run into anybody he ran into in Rogue One.
No,
because just doesn't make sense.
Only rebellion people.
Yeah. You know, maybe like a Wedge, Wedge in there.
Wait, when is this timeline wise? No, never mind. This wouldn't work. I was like, could Dryden Vos be in this? And then I was like, no, Dryden Vos cannot be in this. He'd be long dead.
Yeah. I don't know about long dead, but he'd be dead.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
I think
it would be really cool to see 3PO and R2-D2 as well in there.
Yeah, I bet you they'll be. I bet you if Jimmy Smits isn't a big character, they'll be in the episode with Jimmy Smits.
Yeah, and it would be really, really cool to see some live-action Star Wars Rebels characters.
Yeah, that'd be cool if we saw, like, Hera in it, Hera, was a passing moment.
A Zeb, even, like, a Kanan. Who knows? But yeah, very, very exciting. I've actually been getting a lot more excited for Andor recently. Just because it was one of those things where obviously we were kind of both like, but do we need an Andor series? What's going on? Yeah. But I mean, like he said, you can't really spoil it because we know what's going to happen to him. He's not going to die. So it's just, I'm very interested to see. I think this is just going to be a fun espionage thriller kind of show that you throw on and you have fun.
It's just fun tales. Yeah. I agree. I definitely agree. I agree in the statement of like, I'm interested, but I don't know if my excitement has gone up.
Mine's gone up a little bit, quite a bit.
I need to see something from it. You know, I need a trailer or a poster to kind of get me into that hype.
Understood. Cool. What is our last story here?
So, before I even get into this one, we'll be talking about some new, a new Black Series figures, but, this was just announced, not this that I'm saying, but a different, figure was announced yesterday. We're getting a Clone Commando boss figure, which, will be pretty cool. If you played the Clone Commandos game, we'll be getting a new Black figure. Black Series figure. But this is, we're getting a George Lucas Stormtrooper Black Series figure. The official Star Wars website revealed that we're getting a, it's paying homage to Stormtrooper Luke and Stormtrooper Han, but instead it's George Lucas.
It's
George
so Lucas cool.
wearing a Stormtrooper outfit. That'll be his own little figure. Find pictures of it, because I bet you'll never see it in person in your life.
It'll never appear at a Target or a Walmart ever.
He'll come with a removable helmet and a blaster accessory, which I think is funny that he's getting a helmet. Like, you know, why? He's never gonna wear it.
I know. And these are gonna get eaten up, and they're gonna go for sale for like $200 on eBay.
Yep. But it's gonna be cool. It's a really neat little thing that they're doing with it, and I think that's really fun. I would honestly love that with all of the original trilogy directors.
Yeah.
Is you put them as a different character. You
Ooh,
know?
Yeah.
Put Irvin Kershner in a Vader suit, and
Richard Marquand.
Richard Marquand in like Boba Fett suit, you know?
Yeah.
Or an Emperor's I would love outfit.
I would love that for the sequel trilogy too. I'd love like a
that would be
cool, like yeah. a Ryan Johnson and
as
a JJ.
Old Luke. No, Ryan Johnson is shirtless Kylo.
Oh my god. And then JJ like as Phasma or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, no, not Phasma. That is a woman.
Why not?
No, JJ as Kylo Ren.
JJ is Phasma.
They're both Kylo Ren. They're both shirtless Kylo. Love it.
Switch them up. Just switch everything up. That's funny.
But yeah.
So that'll be really cool to see. I don't know when that'll be releasing or dropping.
I don't think they have a date. I think they just announced the fact that they're going to make it. But we're not going to be seeing it on any shelves, on any stores.
Yeah, not in our areas.
I really wish I was a huge Greef Karga and Queel fan. I really wish I was.
Could own 37 different figures.
So I could own all their Black Series and all the different figures that no one buys of them.
I show you. I know I showed you the shelf, but I got a Commander Cody Black Series.
Oh, very nice. It bothers me that you unbox them.
I do unbox them because they're for me. Like, I like them in their poses. I'm probably going to get a figure case.
Do you at least keep the boxes?
Oh, yeah. I keep their boxes. I keep, like, the holds for them.
Yeah.
I keep all of the accessories I don't use. But, yeah, that's kind of my plan is to, if I get something, I want to use the artwork on the side as kind of a backdrop cover, but I just don't have that space right now. So they just sit in a box. But,
gotcha.
Oh, yeah, I have every figure still. I'm not going to attempt to try and
Well, that's good,
right
at least.
Now. Yeah, so.
Well, cool. I think that just about does us for this week's episode of Through Imperial Eyes. If you'd like to check out us, if you want to check us out on the social medias, you can check us out on Instagram at Through Imperial Eyes Pod, Twitter at Imperial Eyes Pod, and then the old YouTubes at Through Imperial Eyes Podcast. Jackson, where can they find you?
You can find me, as always, on Twitter, at QuaxonScalene. It's QUACKSON, and it's scalene, like triangle. And you can follow my photography Instagram, which is at @Daleen_photography. It's @Daleen_ underscore photography. Braden, what about you? What are your socials?
You can find me unpacking everything at my house for the next 7 years. And also you can find me on Instagram at Braden Ledbetter and on Twitter at Braydathalon. And then you can check out my letterbox, see what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing at B Ledbetter. And also my new short film is also on Letterboxd. If you want to log that, it's just called Erased. If you just want to be nice and give it a little review. And if you haven't checked out my short film, just literally search Braden Ledbetter Erased on YouTube. Please check it out. I'm very, very proud of this film, and I really hope you all check it out, because I really am proud of all aspects of it. And it was like with a 5-person, 6-person crew. So
yeah, I should probably post the BTS stuff on my photography Instagram. I don't know why I didn't. It's all over Facebook and Twitter, but yeah, I should post it.
Yeah, come on and promote me. Let's go.
Come on, man.
But also, if you are interested in checking us out on all of our social medias, please do that. And if you haven't, please head over to our Apple Podcasts, our Spotify, our Google Podcasts, our Overcast, whatever podcast app that you like to use. Subscribe, leave that review, leave that rating. Really helps out the show. And then, of course, we'll be here next week, and we'll be here also talking about Star Wars Visions here in the next day or so. So please check that out as well. But until then, and until next week, when we're talking about some more Star Wars news, and we're actually going to be here next week, unlike the liar that
we'll
I was
it.
A couple
we
days,
promise.
A couple weeks ago. Until then, may the Force be with you.